God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Title of our message for today is Rejoice in Life, Not Death, coming from our gospel reading. And this title may seem kind of strange, Rejoice in Life, Not Death. But when we consider how much bad news it seems like the media plays, it also seems that bad news travels 10 times faster than good news. It almost seems like we live in a culture where we'd almost rather celebrate death. Sounds kind of interesting. Until you read the newspapers or watch the TV or follow the news clips, that's the way it almost seems like our society is focused on. We almost think like we really like war, or really like famine, or pestilence. Well, today we're going to focus not on those things, but on life. Hope and pray we do like our life. I will admit our life may have its ups and its downs, but we need to hang on to this special gift that comes from God. And too often our culture wants to sell that life of ours short. Well, today's message will be based on that concept of life. The interesting thing is, at least according to the disciples, nothing is really new. Even the disciples seem to be caught up in the world's ideas versus God's ideas. So Luke 10 begins with Jesus sending out the 72. We have to remember, when you're thinking 72, you might be thinking, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought Jesus had 12 disciples. Well, yeah, he had the 12, and you could say apostles, the disciples, but there were more who followed than just the 12. The 12 were sort of the key inner group. At this point, he must have had at least 72, and he sends them out two by two. That might give you visions of Noah and his ark, but no, we're talking about Jesus here in the New Testament time. Sort of an advance party. They were going to go out to the places where Jesus was going to travel, you know, get the crowds ready for Jesus. And Jesus gives them instructions. Take no money, take no knapsack or sandals. Don't go house jumping, so when you get to a particular place in town, stay put. Eat what's before you, okay? And you have a couple things you need to do. You need to heal the sick and to give the message that the kingdom of God has come near you. It's interesting, near the end of our text, the 72 now touch base with Jesus. Sort of like a bunch of excited children right after Christmas. Well, what happened to you? Well, what happened to you? What happened to you? You had all this excitement going around amongst the disciples. Why? Because miracles were taking place. Miracles of healing. Miracles of demon-possessed people being cured. They returned back and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Talk about excitement. Talk about a great evangelism opportunity. You know, talk about great PR. Here, Jesus' own disciples are doing miraculous healings. You can almost picture it in the newspapers. A great media event. And so what would Jesus' natural reaction be? Well done, good and faithful servant. Unfortunately, that part of Scripture isn't here in this part of Luke chapter 10. You see, Jesus had some different news for them that caught the disciples, and it may have caught you and me a little off guard. You see, the purpose of their joy was misplaced. Their perceived joy was placed in how good and wonderful these miracles were that they did. And of course, they always reference in Jesus' name. But that isn't where the true joy is to be found in life. True joy is not supposed to be found in the miracles of life, but true life. So Jesus refocuses them and us as he says, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, at this point, we might be thinking, talk about a missed media opportunity that Jesus had and blew it. The disciples were doing fantastic things of healing the sick and casting out the demons. And Jesus then turns their attention to something else. Now, what would happen if God gave me this gift to heal people? What would happen if all of a sudden here at Trinity, people were being healed? And they were coming in by the thousands. We have thousands of sick people around the immediate area. This isn't too unrealistic. Well, let me ask you, could you put 1,000 people here in this building? No, it would be standing room only. The crowds would be flowing out into the streets. It'd be a parking nightmare, congestion nightmare. And not only would you have the people, but if this continued, and it was legitimate, continuing of people being healed, you would have reporters and news crews just to cover all the healing. And some people would say, okay, Pastor Paul, what's wrong with this picture? And the answer is, related to Jesus' own answer, is that the gospel message of the forgiveness of sins and the new life we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be overshadowed. And this is why Jesus has to refocus his disciples to the true joy, what they really needed to be joyful about. As Jesus himself says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, I will admit, some of us may still be scratching our heads and thinking, thousands of people here at Trinity. Well, we can build, we can expand, we can accommodate the parking. No, that's not the point. The true point is, what do we do here at Trinity? We proclaim the message of Christ Jesus. Healing of the soul, so that you can be with God in heaven above for eternity. Dr. Just, in his commentary from St. Luke, sums it up well when he writes, Jesus directs the attention of the disciples away from their thought about sensational success to contemplation about their heavenly status, the authority to tread upon snakes and scorpions, and the power of the enemy should not puff them up to seek visible achievements. Pride and a theology of success would be tools of Satan could use to attack them and to thwart true ministry. Their focus should be on heavenly gifts of grace. Their names are written in God's book of life. Dr. Just is correct. If we start focusing on our own achievements, if we start focusing on our own abilities, if we start focusing upon what we can do and accomplish, in one essence, we have just broken the first commandment. We have sort of become our own God instead of trusting in God above all things. The miracle of eternal life was only made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we have heard that message so many times, which is a good thing. It is the basis of our joy. But our sinful nature kicks in. Because of that, we start thinking, well, I want something new. I want something more exciting. I want something more encouraging. Well, what more encouraging do you want than the forgiveness of sins and eternal life with our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ? Think of it this way. When you were a little child, maybe you didn't do this, but I did, I sometimes got myself into real big trouble. And you could sort of see the tears starting welling up in my eyes. I was really, really sad. I knew I screwed up. I knew I really made a mistake. What was the one thing I really wanted to hear from my mom? That she still loved me. That she forgave me. Up until that point, until those words were sort of echoed, you could have tossed money at me, candy, toys. It would have made no difference because my whole life was consumed with that grief. And all I wanted to hear was forgiveness. That's where our focus should be. On the forgiveness that comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. But too often, as Christians, we say, oh yeah, I know I have that forgiveness. So now toss the money, the candy, and the toys at me. And then when those money, candies, and toys are not tossed, we throw that spiritual temper tantrum that only a little child can throw. And when we get to points like that, we've missed the boat of where true joy is at. True joy is not found in the things of this world. Things in this world that can break, that can fall apart. True joy is found in the relationship we have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The relationship in the forgiveness of sins and how you have been forgiven. And because of that forgiveness, your name is written in heaven. You have eternal life. This miracle is only made possible through the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus, by His grace. One of the ways that we receive that grace is through the sacrament of holy baptism. But would the media crew and the TV and the reporters show up for the next baptism here at Trinity? When water is applied with God's word, the forgiveness of sins takes place. Eternal life is given with sprinkling of water in God's word, and a name is written in heaven above. A true miracle of miracles. And you get to see it with your own eyes. Right here at Trinity. And maybe some friends and family show up, take some pictures afterwards. But then media is not present. It's not making national headlines. Another person is in the kingdom of God. Even if it was the slowest day in the whole world for the media, they probably still wouldn't cover it. What a shame. But what happens to you when you arrive at our Lord's Supper? When you get to see with your own eyes the miracle? When you get to smell the miracle? You get to taste the miracle. You get to touch the miracle. The miracle, the forgiveness of sins, the body and blood of Christ with that bread and wine, again, to increase your faith. Does that give you joy? Joy to be touched by Christ and the forgiveness of sin. Joy to know that your name is written in heaven. This is the Lord's Supper. Is it calling you to rejoice? But too often when we approach the Lord's Supper without joy, we think that joy comes from other things. Let me illustrate with the section of our text that I omitted for the moment. The punishment stage. Ah, now we can get your attention here. As Jesus puts it, woe to you. It almost brings images of hellfire and brimstone. We know what's coming now. Those who rejected our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, those who reject the gift, those who push Christ Jesus out of their lives. You could call this paragraph the hellfire brimstone part of destruction. Now, please note, the disciples weren't saying these words, nor were the disciples doing it. And our sinful human nature may sit there and say, oh, that's too bad. Wouldn't it be great to call down hellfire and brimstone upon those who rejected you? Those who ridiculed you? Those who sinned against you? Those who took advantage of you? If Christ Jesus actually called down hell, fire, and brimstone upon these towns that rejected His disciples and rejected Him, what would have happened? Well, I'll guarantee one thing. The media would have shown up. And then I would have probably guaranteed the second thing. It would have only taken one town to reject Jesus for the rest of them to change their minds. But what would have accomplished? Sure, Jesus would have been able to walk into any town and not been rejected. His disciples would have been adored by all. But does that change people's hearts? Does it really write people's names in heaven above? It would have been a great media event. But would anyone after that event really put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Sure, Jesus would have been welcomed with open arms, but out of fear, not love. Does fear really motivate us? Can fear motivate us to love one another? Can fear motivate me to love anyone? God doesn't work that way, fortunately for us. Yes, there is the law of God. That law, as we know from the Ten Commandments and other things of God's Word, telling us what He's expecting of us, what to do. And the law shows us our sin. It shows us how we haven't measured up our lives. It shows us that, yes, we do deserve death and punishment. But is that why you're here? Do you really avoid eternal death and damnation? Is that your only motivation to being connected to Christ? If it is, you have to stop and ask yourself, do you really understand the love that comes from God? The true joy that comes from God? The law shows us our need for a Savior. It shows us that we don't measure up by our own doing. The disciples were trusting in that. They were focusing upon how miracles were working through them. God is saying, no, 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 don't do that. Trust in God, in His grace, that your names are written in heaven above. That is the gospel message. The gospel message that shows us our Savior, the one who loves us, the one who saves us. The goal here is life, not death. God does not delight in wiping out towns or people because they reject Him. God wants just the opposite. He wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. We do not have a vengeance, angry type God, but a God who says, I love you. True enough, discipline may happen in our lives, but that's just to refocus us and to get our attention so that ultimately we will put our faith and trust in God. Let's put these together and ask ourselves, how well do we handle it when someone does sin against us? Do we forgive them? Or do we sit there and say, you know, Lord, I wish I had the power to bring hellfire and brimstone upon some of my enemies? Just think, I could probably get here to church on a weekday morning in about 10, 15 minutes. Get rid of all the road rage, get rid of all the traffic problems, just wipe them out of the earth, have a clean ride all the way here. We may think that the best way is just to eliminate all the bad guys. Isn't that what they do in the movies? Isn't that what they do in the video games? But you got to remember, because of our sin, we're one of the bad guys. Time to put on the brakes. Maybe we don't want all the bad guys eliminated. Maybe just the real worst ones. Because of one sin, from God's view, we also are in that category. No, we better be thankful. Our true joy better come from knowing that we have a loving, forgiving God who forgives us even though we don't want to forgive our enemies, who loves us even though we may wish we had the power to rain down hellfire and brimstone upon our enemies. Because too often our human sinful nature wants satisfaction. We want punishment, and we would rather see that than repentance or love. Yes, very often we, like the media and the disciples, we listen to our sinful nature, forgetting God's grace and rushing toward sensationalism, stuff that makes me feel good. But is that the true joy of happiness? True joy is not me feeling good. True joy isn't coming from the toys or from the things you can buy. True joy, as Christ refocuses His disciples toward, is not part of a physical sensational success, but is a spiritual success that only comes through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. It is through that death and resurrection you have life, and your name is written in heaven above, that you have eternal life. Hearing this precious news, experiencing Christ Jesus, should cause us to overflow with joy. This is what Jesus wanted his disciples to refocus toward, and wants us to refocus toward. So if it seems like life that you're going through right now just isn't as joyful as it once was, or it seems like maybe you're lagging behind a step or two, then with the disciples, let us return to where we need to get refocused. Not on the physical sensationalism that makes up our multimedia world, but to Christ Jesus. The simple and plain message that you have a God who loves you, and through His Word and Sacrament has written your name in heaven above. In His name, Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.